Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Transportation System.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Double Dose of Disney podcast. As always, my name is Brittany and I am joined here today by my Crystal Arts loving husband, Tony. Every week we try to come up with fun ideas to help you live in the Disney magic, and most of the time, those are things that you should be doing on your vacation. But this week, we're changing it up and we are including some things not to do in the parks and at the resorts. So this isn't probably what you're thinking of. We're probably not listing off like places like don't go eat at this dining location, but we're talking about things that you may not realize would enhance your vacation if you avoided doing them during your vacation, you know?
Yep. A lot of these are kind of like what most people's advice is towards what you should do kind of thing, or what maybe like maybe social media posts steer you to do or don't do, maybe, or just like, you know, someone else's thoughts or opinions on their perfect vacation, I guess.
Right.
Some of the, in a way.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Probably not, but we'll give you some advice on what we think. What makes your trip better?
Yeah. So, number one. Don't go into your vacation with a rigid itinerary of plans. I think we touched on this in a podcast in the last couple of weeks, but there's so many things to do at Walt Disney World, and it can be so exciting to plan it all, but don't go into this forgetting that it's your vacation. Remember to be spontaneous. Remember to enjoy it. Remember to just relax, you know?
We know we don't know, because that's a catch-all. Everybody, you say that, but you do that. You do that. You have the itinerary just like everybody else does.
No, but what I mean is so like on our park days, like whether it's your first park day or your millionth park day at Walt Disney World, I said in a podcast episode recently, like try to pick 3 to 5 things in the park that you must do and everything else is gravy. It honestly makes me sad when I see people online or something like that that are trying to stick to this rigid itinerary of at 10:30 a.m. we're going to be at Space Mountain. At this time we're going to be there. Because things aren't going to work out necessarily to the way that you think that they will. And also too, like, going to Disney, it's the most magical place on earth. But at the same time, it's still like there's still going to be things that go unexpectedly during your vacation. And those little things that go unexpectedly can add up to really big like disappointments if you have this rigid set of plans.
Basically, it comes down to two groups of people. Are we going to be back here? Are we not?
True.
If we are, is it going to be 10 years from now or next year? That's where the itinerary, like, you know, like, if you're not going to be back for 5 years, or if this is somehow your only trip to Disney World.
Right.
You're going to have this. It's just a matter of, like, you're going to have to be flexible in what actually gets done.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to do it either way, all of it. So you can still do a bunch and still have the itinerary. There has to be that little wiggle room.
Yeah,
I
agree.
That's what it comes down to.
And there's not, you know, like, I think a lot of people, I would say 60% of people, when they first go to Disney World, are like, this is our one and only trip to Disney. And then I think a lot of them realize, like, okay, I can go back. And maybe it was this expensive vacation the first time, but you realize to stay at a value resort from then on, or to eat quick service, or, you know what I mean, things to make it more enjoyable, because you just want to go back and experience Disney World, the attractions and all of that stuff. But you're right. A lot of people go into it like, this is going to be my only vacation there. So how can I make the most of it?
I have never, in my life personally so far, I've never heard of somebody going just once. I haven't.
No, but I have. So if you don't know, I'm a Disney vacation planner. And I have a lot of people that reach out to me, for the first time planning their vacations. Forever. And they're like, hey, like, this is going to be our one and only trip to Disney. How can we do it? And then they'll reach back out to me like, hey, we're planning our next trip to Disney. So that can quickly change. But I think a lot of people, for the first time, you probably think that, it's probably because people don't realize how much there is to do at Disney.
If you see the commercials and everything, okay, we got to take our kids. We'll go do it one time.
Right.
So if you just change the mindset before you ever even go, then it's going to be much more enjoyable when you do go back again.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, the first trip is always more chaotic and chaos than no matter what you do.
It is. And
I always, you can help yourself out, but it's still going to be that way.
Right. And I always tell my clients, like, just remember you can go back. And they're like, yeah, sure. Like, we're not going to go back. It's so expensive or something like that. But at the same time, like, I think once they get there, they realize they're like, okay, yeah, that's true. Like, we could go back if we wanted to.
And budgeting and planning that you can do.
Yes. And with that mindset of just like realizing you can always go back, like that kind of takes the pressure off of it.
If it's possible, yep.
Yep. Number two, don't just take everyone else's advice and skip out on things your party may enjoy. This includes like resorts you can stay at, dining locations, attractions to do, all of it. We talk about this quite a bit. Like we even say, don't just listen to our advice. Do things on your own, because there were things that we missed out on our first and even second vacation, like going on Dinosaur. That's one of our favorite attractions, but I for some reason heard that it was like a simulator attraction, which is not, and I was like, oh, it won't be fun and make us motion sick. No, it's so much fun. That's one of our favorite things to do.
Yeah, just on the rides, you can get all the advice. You can watch the rides, you can watch people ride the rides, do everything, right. Get all the advice you want. But at the end of the day, you really don't know how your body's going to react or how until you actually ride something.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, like I said, Disney has these rides down to like a T. I mean, I've never seen anybody throwing up. They got some puke bags on rides. I've never seen anybody use them.
Well,
they've got them down just for like, and if there's any caution, they're going to tell you that. Like,
that's true.
Just ask a cast member. I think ask a cast member. Yeah. Everything. Don't. Sometimes even the signs are like, okay, motion sickness, but you know, warning. But actually ask the cast member. They'll tell you like, you know what? No. Like we see thousands of people a day. How many people will throw up? None.
Right. No, that's what I was going to say. Like you said it perfectly. Like don't ask the cast member, because sometimes like Disney has to say things like if you have claustrophobia.
Yeah, if you're pregnant, if your back hurts, if you just had a beer, like that doesn't matter.
If you have high blood pressure, like all of those things. And obviously if you have any of those things, like be cognizant of it. But at the same time, like they're going to over alert you to it just in case. And that always scared me on our first trip. But then too, like with the resorts, the first time we stayed at Coronado Springs, well, the only time we stayed there, that's actually one of our absolute favorite resorts at Disney. But I remember we were to stay at Caribbean Beach. We got moved to Coronado Springs because we booked it with a discount and it moved us. And I remember being like, I remember worrying for like months, like we're going to hate this resort because I had read online that it had less Disney theming and everything. But it's actually a perfect resort for a couple's vacation.
So this just came to me. Other than our expertise knowledge on this podcast, be selective on what you watch, all the resources. Because some people tell you, yeah, don't eat before this ride, don't like
right
like weird stuff, like minimize,
eat a banana,
like get like two good resources that you're looking at before you go on your trip to plan and get like knowledge from the design.
That's true.
Every random just clickbait, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and we try to be objective. We try not to be clickbait, like all of those things, because we know from personal experience how that can like kind of impact things. Or we've eaten things that people are like, oh, that's the best thing in the park. And we're like, it's not for us, you know?
Yeah, food's, yeah.
Food's very subjective.
That's another big one.
Yeah.
As far as like taking people's advice and what's good, what's not good. There's two classes when you go to any park. Like, is this park food? Is this like... some people think the plastic cheese is like a, you know, a champagne in a plastic cup.
Right.
It's
Velveeta cheese. That's liquefied.
Nacho cheese. If that's your category and that's a lens that person's like speaking through in their pocket, whatever you're listening to, like just be informed.
True. Yeah.
There's way, way different when you get to what people are saying. Like, oh my God.
I knew you were going to say that. That's so funny.
Bag of grease is the best thing I've ever had. But then everybody hates a turkey leg for some reason. Like, what? It doesn't matter who you are, they're going to hate the turkey leg.
Tony has this beef with everybody hating the turkey legs. And Tony, every time we go, wants to eat a turkey leg. But Tony has never eaten said turkey leg.
Because there's always better options.
I know.
And then I'm never hungry.
True.
I said if you eat some with me, I would get it last time.
Yeah, I just am not like into the turkey leg. Like I eat enough turkey on Thanksgiving.
But whether you like nasty food or you like gourmet food, everybody hates a turkey leg for some reason.
True.
Or at least they say they do whenever you listen to anything or to watch it.
Yeah, that's
true. And I think that's just for the... There's a couple that I've seen that said they like it, but
turkey legs just remind me of a fair. Okay, next one. Number three, don't forget there are other guests around you enjoying their vacation as well. So this is a big one for us. We will sometimes watch Happily Ever After in particular, like from a live stream or something like that when we're at home. And I told Tony that every time we were watching that, I think to myself, there's a family there. There are many families there that this is their first day at Walt Disney World on their first vacation. And every single time that makes me cry, because you're getting to experience for the first time the place that we love the most in this world and the place that I truly feel like mirror images, the joy of heaven. So we always want to, like, it's easy when you're on vacation at Disney to forget about anybody else, and this is your vacation, it's all about you. But really, like, everyone else around you is paid just as much money to be there, you know, and you don't want to take away from their experience.
Yeah, I mean, like, rides, for example. Our first time on any ride, really, I mean, you're looking at everything, you're enjoying everything, you're listening to the audio of the ride, like, and the worst thing possible, like going back now, I hate it with passion now. Or like Guardians, people will just ruin that ride going to where, like,
they skip over the pre-show.
The pre-show where they let you out. Things like that where it just distracts people. It ruins the experience. It's like you can't, or people that are talking or just like going to, pre-shows are really bad about talking. People just talking to the whole thing. It just ruins it.
Yeah.
It's just, don't do it. I mean, we've done it 1,000 times. I don't know why even go on the ride then.
Right.
I mean, I get you just want to be on the ride. But, like, no consideration for anybody around you.
I think a cool thing, too, is even if you've been to Disney 125 times, you can always put yourself back in the shoes of the time that you went the first time if you just, like, observe what's around you. Like, there's so much at Disney. Like, the pre-shows kind of make the attractions. And at Disney, I remember the first few times. Do you remember this? The first few times we went to Disney, going through the pre-shows, like, it was hard to understand the attraction fully because there was so much going on. And I remember, like, it took us like 2 or 3 times to ride like Haunted Mansion or something like that before I was like, I finally understand the story of it. And Haunted Mansion has a lot going on, but really a lot of it is set up in that pre-show. And so, like you said, if you talk through it, except there's one part in the pre-show that would be really cool if people interact with, like, you know what part I'm talking about, right? I don't want to ruin it for anybody that's never gone on Haunted Mansion, but
there's a couple I'm thinking of
in the stretching room, like in the pre-show, you know. Like, there's, like, one part that it's cool if people interact with it, but the rest of it, like, just be silent.
What I always think about is, like, who are these people that really just, like, ruin these rides? Like, are they annual pass holders who just go every day? Are they, like, people who live in Florida? Or just, like, or maybe it's the people that don't actually, you don't know anything about the rides. You don't appreciate the rides because you just want to ride the ride.
Yeah.
So here you go. Inform yourself on every ride. Be into the pre-show. Like, and that's the whole point of immersing you. That's the whole point of Disney. Is from the time you're waiting in an hour line to actually riding the ride, it's the same all the way through.
I think that it's easy, like, to... I think if you're not into Disney... If you go into Disney, let's say you're probably not going... If you're not into Disney or going to be into your vacation, you're probably not going to listen to a podcast like ours. But we always say one of the most important things to do is to, like, immerse yourself in the history of Disney. So if you just go into your Disney vacation being like, I'm going to a theme park, I'm going to a glorified theme park, then you probably would, like, talk through, like, the pre-shows or something like that. But on Dinosaur, if you go to get on Dinosaur and you don't understand the pre-show, like, the pre-show really sets up, like, what the attraction is.
Yeah, you won't get it at all. Yeah.
No, like, so there's a lot of things. And even, for example, during COVID... when we went to Disney in February 2021, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway had just opened. It opened, like, right before the park shut down in 2020, so we had never ridden it before. And the pre-show wasn't taking place because COVID was happening. So they did away with the pre-show, and we rode that, and Tony was like, I don't like this attraction. No, like, this is dumb.
It felt like Small World in a way. I was like, what?
Yeah, like, what it didn't make any sense to you. But now, because all the pre-shows have been brought back, now, like, we love that attraction because you understand the story behind it.
Yeah, like, right for the first time.
So if you ruin something like that for the people around you, then it's not the same experience.
Yeah. Rides are huge. What else you got on that one?
Fireworks? Yeah, fireworks is another big one.
A lot of ways.
Or parades.
Fireworks people. And this one's controversial. I mean, you see it all the time. It's not, it's just frowned upon. It's like putting kids on your shoulders for fireworks. Yeah. That one's touchy. I would say don't do it.
Right. No,
but then
say
at the same time, if your kids can't see, that I would just say you have to get there early. Get there early and get close. Don't go in the back where people are kind of that's where they want to be to get out or whatever it is, and then fly 60 kids up on the shoulder so then everybody can't see.
Right.
I mean, if it's that important, just get there early and be in the front.
Or get a fireworks reserve package to have reserve seating.
For your little kids, nobody wants to waste money on that, though.
Well, no, they don't. But I'm saying if it's that important to you, like, don't interrupt it for people, or, you know, like, don't ruin it for people around you.
So it's the countdown, though. If you ever see them or watch them.
Oh, no, it is. Like, on the
live streams ever, every time, it's like, 5, 4, 3, everybody up.
And
big old wall.
And, like, with all of that said, like, we have 4-month-old twin daughters. And so there will be a time when fireworks are extremely important to them. I think Disney, like, at Happily Ever After. Happily Ever After is really the show where that's an issue. Like, Luminous at Epcot, it's not an issue. Fantasmic, you're sitting in a stadium, so you're not able to do that. But Happily Ever After is really the only park that there's an issue with, like, the baby, like, with the kids on their shoulders. With that said, we're going to have to just be cognizant of getting to the castle hub early with a spot to be able to view the fireworks. But also, too, Disney now has projections on Main Street. So your kid, like, you no matter where you're at, you're able to see some part of the show, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking both sides of it, because, like,
you pay a lot of money, you want your kids to see it.
It's chaos there, and if you actually don't know to get there early, which you should, like, it's still fun. That the way they block stuff off and they funnel people, like, I get it. No matter what, there's going to be people that are back there that want, that just, it happens. But yeah. I just feel like a lot of times people go back there because they want to get out really quick, and then they're just like, whatever, I'm throwing my kids, I don't care about anything, so you're not, you know.
Well, or if you're a first-time guest and you see somebody in front of you put their kids on your shoulder, and so then you can't see, your kids can't see, well, then of course you're going to do the same thing. So you're right. It's kind of like it's a hard thing. I was telling Tony, like, it's interesting because, like, in other Disney parks, people sit, and at Disney World, you're not able to. Like, you have to stand, obviously, during the fireworks.
Like, elbows to elbows, like, this is our spot. Well, but
even, even for the parades, can you stay seated? So for the parades, that's another thing where people, if you don't know, so the parades start out in Frontierland. They go down the path through into Liberty Square, and then they go through the Castle Hub down to Main Street USA. So one of our biggest tips is to always watch the parades from Frontierland or Liberty Square. With that said, we watched it from Festival of Fantasy Parade from Liberty Square, and we had a great spot. Like, we were kind of, like, wedged in by, like, the trash can. But then all of a sudden, these, like,
we got there early. We got a spot. We're like, perfect, good trash can here. No one's going to be, like, on top of us, behind us, and around us, whatever. No, somebody pulled up next to us, whooped out their umbrella. Kids were, like, stepping on my shoes. I mean, it just... It's
so being cognizant of that, and just also too, like, just because there's a couple there that's maybe adults that don't have kids, like, don't disregard that that's their vacation too.
I mean, here's a pro tip: like, if that happens, just start coughing a lot, cough a lot, sneeze a lot.
I have COVID.
Yeah, don't cover your mouth and just say you got over COVID, and you should clear out a little bit for you.
And I feel bad doing, because I don't want this to come off negative in any way, but we really, truly just want people to have the best experience while at Disney World, so don't ruin it for anyone
else. Last time it was easy because we had a stroller, so we had, like, a barricade.
Right.
So that's easy. If you got a stroller, you can barricade up, and you got plenty of room.
Yeah.
Ready. Or a wagon.
Yeah. No, you can't. Wagons. You can't have wagons.
Oh, no wagons. Sorry about that.
Number 4. Don't only eat chicken strips and cheeseburgers if you're more of an adventurous eater. This is something that we talk about all the time at Walt Disney World. But there's so many places you can eat chicken strips or cheeseburgers in the Disney parks. But there's so much more adventurous food to eat too. Whether it's, like, grabbing the spring rolls from the Adventureland spring roll cart that are stuffed with, like, what, pizza and cheeseburger. So it's still a cheeseburger, but I mean, it's like an elevated cheeseburger. Or eating at Skipper Canteen in the Magic Kingdom. Things like that. Like, don't, like, I don't want anyone to miss out on eating really great food when they're, like, when there's, like, chicken strips and cheeseburgers everywhere.
At the end of the day, this is a rookie move.
Right.
And the only people I feel like would ever do this is if you don't know how to use the app and the tip board, all that, and, like, the mobile ordering and things like that. That you would just be, when you're stressed out, get the kids, you're running through, you don't even have time to look at menus, you're just, like, the first thing you look at. Because, I mean, if you're familiar with the app and mobile ordering, you know, you can see everything, what you can grab real quick too, not just, you know.
yeah, but I think,
or whatever.
I think a lot of people, when they're going to Disney for the first time, again, like when I'm helping people plan their Disney vacations, they're like, I had no idea that there was a shrimp boil I could get in the Magic Kingdom at Columbia Harbor House and that it was actually good. Or, you know, like things like that. Because like you said, like when you're going to Disney for the first time, we didn't understand what mobile order was at first, well, or anything like that.
I think if you're not going to do sit-down dining, which a lot of people do, they don't do sit-down dining, then this is what happens.
Right. Or you think only sit-down...
they get the nasty food.
Yeah. Or you think only sit-down dining is character dining. And I know a lot of people love Chef Mickey's, but like there's so much more amazing food at character dining. We just did that podcast episode about In or Out at Magic Kingdom dining, like Cinderella's Royal Table. Yes, it's more expensive. Or the Crystal Palace or Topolino's or places like that have like this great quality food where you're also getting a character experience.
Yeah, at the end of the day, like this whole trip planning, you just gotta know. Right. You gotta plan, you gotta know how to use the app, mobile order, and just do a little research before you go. I mean, you should, unless you want it, you shouldn't be eating chicken strips the entire
time. Yeah, if you
unless
want it.
Unless you're free ones from Pinocchio's.
Yes, and those are really good because we all know that I'm the president of the Pinocchio's Village House Fan Club. But two, I've had a lot of people ask, like, if I eat at a place like Skipper Canteen, is there going to be anything for my kids to eat there? Yes, Disney does a great job of kind of trying to accommodate to, like, all palates. So especially on the kids' menu, they're going to have, like, fried chicken and stuff like
there's
that.
There's at least two items on every menu that, yeah. You're plain Jane, would eat anything.
Yeah.
Burger, chicken.
No, absolutely. And speaking of that, when you're planning your dining for your next Disney vacation, if you happen to be looking for dining for somewhere like Topolino's or Cinderella's Royal Table or the Crystal Palace or Skipper Canteen, anywhere like that, any of the harder dining locations especially, check out Magical Alerts to set up dining reservation alerts for your trip. You select the location, when you're looking to dine there, the preferred date and time, and then when a reservation opens up, you'll get a text message with the dining opening and a link to click that will take you directly to your Disney login to book the reservation. Head to magicalalerts.com to begin setting up your dining alerts, and if you use the code DOUBLEDOSE at sign up, you'll receive a free alert added to your account.
There you go. So going back to our number four, you have to do at least one.
Right. Table service.
And then you know you're not going to get chicken strips and...
That's true.
Cheeseburgers the entire time.
Yeah.
One a day.
One a day.
At least one a day.
That's kind of our plan is one a day. This past trip, did we do one a day? Yeah, we did about one dining reservation a day.
Yeah.
Even with the girls.
I don't think we... I guess most of the time it is dinner. But it doesn't have to be.
No. You could do it at lunch or you could do breakfast.
You know, people think, oh, it has to be dinner time and it doesn't really work out or we got to leave early. You know, it'd be lunchtime.
And if you're going to the parks early, like we don't ever do this, but maybe we will in the future with character dining with the girls. Breakfast is less expensive for character dining. That's actually one of like my pro tips is if you're going to do character dining, do it for breakfast because it's less expensive. B, it gives you better breakfast options rather than just like grabbing a pastry. Like I know Tony loves like a Cheshire cocktails or something like that. But if you want something that's going to be like more of a full comprehensive breakfast, you're probably not going to get that in most of the parks. So this kind of gives you, unless you want something as Tony would say that's nasty. I can't
say
it right.
There's two meanings of nasty. Nasty. I mean, there's nasty, which is like, you know, it's that greasy thing that you've been craving for like before you got to Disney World. It's actually good. Like the fried green BLT is like nasty.
Yeah, that was
like,
good.
It's like a good, like a, this is nasty. I'm loving this thing, but there's nasty. Just like, this is like, you know, like maybe the turkey leg or what you think of just like, this is not very good.
Yeah. So if you eat some, if you do like a character dining breakfast, you know that you're going to have like a really good, like, a full hearty meal, you know, not just like grabbing something as you go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're more expensive when you do those, but like it slows you down again. You appreciate more of the park and the whole Disney World and see a resort or something, you know, out of the park. Like,
yeah, if you went to like Topolino's, that's the breakfast with Mickey and his friends and their artisan best at the top of the Riviera Resort. So a lot of people wouldn't go to the Riviera Resort otherwise. It's a beautiful resort. We haven't gotten to eat there yet. I'm gunning for us to eat there for Mother's Day. Yeah, choosing to go, it gets you out of the parks. It gets you like this like great experience and then you're paying less for it. And what a lot of people don't realize is if you have the Disney dining plan, All the princess dining is 2 table service credits, except if you choose to eat at Akershus Royal Banquet Hall at Epcot. If you eat there for breakfast, it's only 1 table service credit, and you still get to dine with princesses. So it's a way, like, better option.
Yeah, this one ties in, like, I don't see it, but ties in probably all our points in our last one. It's like, obviously slow down, but, like, don't just prioritize the parks.
Right.
I feel like that's what gets stressful, too, when you're just at the parks, you don't have much of a break, like, you know, to resort or what, you know, like, one thing we wrote earlier, mini golf. Like, go play mini golf.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't just focus on the parks, because I think that gets too stressful.
That's true. Because it's kind of like, we love the parks, but there's so much to do. Disney World is the size of San Francisco. So there's a ton to do. And it can be sensory overload if you just stay in the parks. So, yeah, doing mini golf, nobody talks about that. But that's actually free with your vacation package.
I talk about this all the time. Random people that I do work for, whatever it is. I tell them, like, hey, we go to Disney World every year, multiple times. Like, okay. You know, really. Like, you know, because I just think of it as the park. And then I try to explain to them and kind of nerd out. They don't even like. I'm like, well, there's this many restaurants. You know, we stay at a different resort every time. And they're just like, oh. Okay, they don't really care, but you can tell that they're like, okay, there's more than just the park that you waste much money at, you know, because there's way more to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, we're going back to Disney. Well, one of our trips coming up is with my family, and we're planning on staying at Wilderness Lodge. And Wilderness Lodge, you literally feel like you're at a national park. My dad has always wanted to go to Yosemite National Park. We've just, for whatever reason, like, never gone. I'm not new to Yellowstone. He always wanted to go to Yellowstone. We've never, for whatever reason, gone there. But going to Wilderness Lodge, like, you get a little glimpse of what that's like. And Disney does such a great job of just doing that. So we go to the Polynesian Resort every single trip, and we have never stayed there just because we love the...
I feel like I've stayed there.
Yeah, we love the atmosphere. We can't wait to stay there. We just haven't yet, but we love the atmosphere.
Trader Sam, set up back in the porch outside, 3 o'clock open time.
Yep.
So if you don't know, it's like a little hidden... Well, they had grotto?
Trader Sam's grotto was the indoor dining, like, indoor bar and lounge, and they have, like, light bites and stuff. That opens at 3. Or Trader Sam's Tiki Terrace is the patio bar that we went to last time. It's not a bar, but it's a lounge.
We literally showed up at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, we got, like, sushi and pot stickers.
Yep.
And then, like, a couple drinks. Or there's Ohana, which is the Polynesian style restaurant. It's character breakfast with Lilo and Mickey and Stitch. Or for dinner, it's family style. We've eaten there. We go to Polynesian every trip just because we love it.
Disney World is it trains you to be like a hamster in the wheel going as fast as you can, and then want to just go be a sloth and sit on a chair for 3 hours. Like,
true.
You want to get as much as you can done, and then not want to do nothing now. Just like, and then you go run in the little hamster wheel for 6 hours. I just want to, you know, it's like get as much done. Oh, it's vacation still, and going to the pool. It's like,
yeah, that's
so
true.
It's a weird thing. Another thing I was thinking about, like, take as much transportation as you can to resorts. Like, most people are like, oh, I hate all the transportation, blah, blah, blah. Like, flip your script on how you think of it, because I still don't like the bus, necessarily, but I still like to do all the transportation.
So your tip would be, don't skip out on transportation.
Yeah, and just, like, you know, be familiarized with, like, what goes where, like, learning what goes where does the boat go, where does the monorail go to, you know, hop on those things, go in a different, you know, like, just take as much as you can, like. For me, I enjoy going there for a week because I don't have to drive anywhere.
Yeah.
I would never drive there unless I had to. A lot of people, I don't.
Yeah.
Don't have to drive. Just sit back, relax. We'll have you there shortly.
That's what they say on the buses.
I think they say, like, in everything, but I don't say monorail.
No. No, yeah. My favorite transportation, I would say, is, I don't know, either Skyliner or the buses, but like Tony said, like, don't skip out on any transportation. Don't skip out on exploring the resorts. You can go to any of the Disney resorts, like, anybody can. You can get on any of the modes of transportation. Like, Disney World is your oyster.
I think it's just all perspective. It's like, we're so used to our normal lives, like, okay, how many minutes is it going to take if I do this, and how long are we going to be on this thing? It's like,
right.
Instead of enjoying being on that and just like, you know, okay, awesome. I get to see, you know, look at, we're going over on the Skyliner and like different resorts, and it's like, not just, okay, what's, you know, this takes 12 minutes, that takes 14, we're taking this, and we get to like, slow it down, like, it's the whole point of, you know, being on vacation, relax, see it all, take it all in, who you're with.
Yeah.
and do as much as you can with the slowdown as fast as you can.
No, and well, and then that leads into number five. Don't forget to take time to slow down and enjoy your trip. So at the beginning of the episode, I said that Tony is my Crystal Arts loving husband. And if you don't know, Crystal Arts is a glass blowing shop at the Magic Kingdom on Main Street, USA. It's on the left-hand side as you're, I'm sorry, right-hand side as you're walking down down to Cinderella Castle. Crystal Arts is owned by the, or run, I guess, probably, by the Arribas brothers. The Arribas brothers were glass blowers that were handpicked by Walt Disney at the World's Fair, and they now have a glass shop in each of the Disney parks around the world. So this is their Magic Kingdom location. But what's really cool about Crystal Arts, what we love, is one trip we were at Disney, and that trip, I think it was our first trip in the fall. And we just really wanted to like go into this trip being like, we want to be intentional and slowing down. We had never seen like the Dapper Dans before because they had been away during COVID and everything like that. So we wanted to see those things. So I think we just happened to walk into the Crystal Arts. I had followed the Arribas brothers on Facebook, or I'm sorry, on TikTok. So I knew that I wanted to see like what they had, but I knew that they had their Disney Springs location and then they had Magic Kingdom. But we didn't know that they do glass, like hand blown glass, like not shows, what would you call it? Like...
Yeah, well, it's demonstrations.
So there's typically somebody at the back of the store that's doing hand-blown glass, and they're doing pumpkins or ornaments or things like that.
They'll have a sign telling you what time, if they're not there, what time they'll be doing it.
Yeah, and then at the front, they also are, there's someone that's typically putting, like, crystal figurines together and stuff like that. It is such a cool experience to get to see, but if you are rushing down Main Street to get to your Lightning Lane on Space Mountain, you're going to miss out on things like this. Like, some of the most fun and organic, fun memories that we have at Disney are things that have happened organically when we stop to slow down.
Yeah, I mean, like this is controversial with everything else because it's hard to do, and everyone's like, "You're trained to, we got to get it
right.
We got to get it done. We got to get this done." Because if you're looking at any kind of videos, blogs, whatever, listening in the, all right, well, here's how you get this out of the way, you get this done. It's like, no, it's like slow it down. Like, even if this is at the end of the night or wherever it fits in, like. Appreciate that, and then the history and everything that's like in these parks.
Right.
I mean, everything we've said over and over again, everything is there for a reason. It's not just random. All the writings on all the windows, walls, like signs, like everything.
Yeah, and like we obviously nerd out on like Disney history. Like, for example, in Liberty Square, the tree in Liberty Square was handpicked by Walt Disney. It was somewhere else on Disney property, handpicked, and Walt said, I think that needs to be the tree that's in Liberty Square, and that's where they hang the lanterns from for the 12 colonies. Obviously, Walt was not alive when Walt Disney World opened, when Magic Kingdom opened, and I can nerd out on like Disney history, especially Walt Disney, all day. But things like that are so cool that tie into like the true like history of Disney. And if you like don't slow down to just explore those areas, or maybe slow down to read things, or slow down and ask the cast members, hey, are there any Disney Easter eggs in this area? Hey, is there any Disney history in this area? And they're more than happy to share the knowledge with you.
If they know. I'm starting doing that just to see what all they know.
We asked...
So who paid attention in history class of Walt Disney for you?
And traditions.
I wonder if there even actually is one.
There is. It's called traditions.
But I was thinking about as you're saying that. This is like one of those things, if you're not physically like, or I don't know, whatever the word is, if you're not actually thinking about it when you're there, the crowd's going to take you into chaos. everybody's just like crazy. So like, if you're not trying to purposely like slow down a little bit, the hamster wheel is going to go faster and faster.
Yeah.
Like, because everyone's just a mob running everywhere all day long.
Yeah, and I guess that's another one is like, don't disregard the Disney cast members. Like, so many of the Disney, we love talking to the cast members. That's how Tony found out about the fried green tomato BLT last time.
I was thinking
time.
About Animal Kingdom, how we always talk to them on the trails.
Oh yeah, we always talk to them on the trails. We always ask questions about the gorillas or...
The aquarium at the seas.
At the seas, yeah. We always ask different questions. Sometimes we played games with the cast members where we'll go up to them and be like, hey, we're going to dinner tonight. Where should we go?
That's been a miss lately.
Yeah,
the ones we've asked don't even eat anywhere.
We're going to go to dinner tonight. Give me your favorite table service location in Walt Disney World. And they'll tell somewhere, and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to eat there. But
quick service or something.
Yeah, but for the most part, like, always ask the cast members. Like, they're so knowledgeable, so helpful.
Yeah, they're not in that at least the ones I've never seen or talked to, they're not in that land or that position because they don't know anything about it.
Right.
They know what they're looking at and what
and they
what
love their job. Yeah. And so many of them love going to the Disney parks, like outside of their like work days and stuff like that, that it's really fun to talk to them.
Yeah, you can leave them a cast compliment, and if they do a bad job, then just leave a bad review somewhere you can find their name. Or
no, don't do
you
that.
Can't do that. I'm just saying that. Yeah, how do you not leave a compliment? Decompliment them. I don't know.
No, leave them compliments.
So you, I compliment this person. They could do better, but I'm still gonna give a good compliment because you did a good job, and you can still turn it both ways.
True.
Yeah.
True, but all the cast members are amazing. Okay. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. As always, please be sure to give us a follow at the Double Dose of Disney Fam on both Instagram and TikTok to keep the fun rolling. And please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. That goes so far to help us continue growing our audience. We will see you right back here next week.
See you.